Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, good opportunity to call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And of course, Bob, this is day 11 of our focus on the book of Revelation. And folks, we're glad that you've joined in. So, Bob Christopher, let's just kick her off.
Well, we will do so. We're almost halfway through this book. It has been a fascinating study for me. I have enjoyed this probably more than almost any study I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I've seen the book of Revelation with fresh eyes and through a new covenant lens, good news lens. And boy, that just helps you see all kinds of things that I never saw before.
Yeah.
I said, I think most people go into the book of Revelation with some questions in mind that they want answered. Mm-hmm. Will the church go through the tribulation period? So they're looking at every passage from that framework. And I think when you do, you miss what God's really interested in, and that's to reveal to us his son in all of his glory and all of his majesty.
Yeah, well, we're pretty self-centric, I think, when it comes to
those things. Yes, we are.
I think I think we have a good excuse to do that.
Yeah, so we have that question in mind. We have just the curiosity factor, you know, things going on in the world. You know, does the book of Revelation speak to those things?
Right.
Are we seeing prophecy being fulfilled? So we read the book of Revelation with a newspaper right next to us, trying to connect the dots. But I think if we go in and just read it for what it is, let this book speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Allow God to do in us what he does with every other book in the Bible, use his spirit to reveal Jesus to us, to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto our hearts, then this book will take shape, will be blessed, and will experience the blessing that John writes about at the very beginning. Yeah. So it is a fascinating book. But we go into chapter 10 today, and we're in an interlude. An intermission, so to speak. We see these three acts of God's judgment, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And we see, you know, the intensity of those ever increasing with each set of judgments. But during those three acts, there's different interludes, and you know, John just pauses. Jesus just pauses for a few seconds and lets us get our breath.
Yeah.
And chapter 10 is one of those particular chapters. So this is an interlude. It goes all the way through the middle of chapter 11. And so John is basically digesting, you know, everything that he has seen concerning the first six trumpets. And it was quite amazing what was revealed in those trumpets and the judgment that was coming against those who reject Jesus Christ. Also, in the midst of that were incredible statements of assurance. And that's what we need as believers. We need our hearts assured. We need to know that we truly belong to God and that we will be protected from this wrath that is to come. And so God does incredible things in moving John to write these words of assurance. Well, here we see another mighty angel coming down from heaven, and just the image is amazing. You know, he was robed in a cloud, a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars, and he was holding a little scroll. And I like how, you know, John describes this as a little scroll as compared to the scroll God was holding in his hand on the throne that Jesus took that was sealed.
Right.
Well, this little scroll doesn't mean it's less important. It's just size, and it talks more of what is to come. Now, we see, you know, seven thunders, and they start to speak, and they're said to to remain silent and to seal that up, so we don't really know what all that's about, and we don't need to know. That's not for us to know. Otherwise, God would have revealed it, would have had John write it down. But then we see some other things going on, and in verse 7, he talks about the mystery of God. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished. All will come to its fulfillment, its completion. This new earth will become ours. The new heavens and all that God has prepared for us will be there. So that is forthcoming. But we really want to spend a few minutes focusing on this word mystery, because in the Bible, we see this word quite often. Colossians 1:27, it says this, or Paul wrote this, Christ in you is the mystery. This mystery that is revealed to the Gentiles was simply this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That wasn't revealed until the apostles. God knew all about it, and he revealed it at the appropriate time. And what was that a message about? It was a message saying that Jew and Gentile alike would receive the gift of God's Spirit, and they would stand together as one new man. We see the mystery of godlessness, and so all of those mysteries are going to come to their completion here in this seventh trumpet. And then a voice is heard from heaven, and it's a message directed to John, go and take the little scroll, eat it, and in the mouth it tasted sweet, in the stomach it tasted sour. And that's how we should look at the end times, as a bittersweet moment. Mm-hmm. We're going to be held up as children of God. We're going to receive the rewards of belonging to him. But along with that is this judgment against those who don't know Christ. Right. And that is not a thing to take joy in.
No.
That's not a thing to relish. That's not a thing to shout hallelujah about. And I think that's what this image is all about. There's a bitter sweetness to this seventh trumpet. Mm-hmm. Things are going to be made right. But with that, there's a judgment against those who do not know Christ. And I think that's why it's so vitally important for believers to speak openly and to voice this good news of Jesus Christ as often as possible. You don't know who will receive or who will reject. Just put it out there and let God do his work in people's hearts and people's lives through his Spirit. They need to know that there's an option, that there's life available for them in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. And that, of course, is the Basic Gospel. You're listening to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us, everybody. The lines are wide open right now, and if you're listening in the New York City, New Jersey area, if you're listening in Washington, D.C., and that surrounding area, if you're listening in Louisville or Denver, Colorado, you are the folks that that the program is on the air for right now. So we want to hear from you. If you have a question about the Revelation or some other issue that you might be facing in life, why, we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. We're open for Bible questions or for to discuss this issue of the book of Revelation. 1-800-677-9377. And Bob, a question from Teresa, who writes to us from Arizona. She says, I have a family member that is a born-again believer, and she wants a church that is as close as possible to the one the apostles started. She's looking into the Eastern Orthodox Church and says it can be traced back to the apostles and that it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Teresa goes on to say, I did a little research on it, and it seems they have a lot of beliefs that are not biblical. Any information you can give me to share with her would be greatly appreciated. And she closes by saying, I thank God for your ministry. God bless you all there at Basic Gospel.
Great question, you know, and that's something that we want to know, you know, about church is, do we have a good church? What constitutes a good church? And there is this movement, this thought, this attitude, if we could just go back to what the early apostles had. Well, all of those early churches had problems. I mean, that's why we have the New Testament. Paul didn't write to the group at Philippi because they were doing everything right. They were having issues. They were having problems. And Paul was writing to correct those problems. Certainly the Corinthians, they were messed up almost from the get-go. There was divisions, yeah. There were the haves, there were the have-nots, there were, sexual immorality just being paraded around as, hey, this is what the grace of God allows us to do. And there was all sorts of things. Well, you don't want to be like that church. About the purest form of it was right at the beginning when they just gathered in people's homes and they read the scriptures, they prayed together, and they fellowshiped together. That's all. Very simple. It wasn't ornate in, its show or presentation. It was just very simple. People who had been saved by the grace of God and who wanted to meet together and share that life with one another.
Right.
That's what the early church was, and that's what we're called to do today. And so that can take the form of, a small group meeting in somebody's home. That can take the form of a large group. But when you enter into one of those groups, you want to know several things. What does that group believe about Jesus?
Right.
Do they hold him up as the one true God, as the Son who became flesh and dwelt among us, who died to take away our sins, to ransom us from sin and death, who was raised on the third day so that we could have everlasting life? Do they believe that about Jesus? Do they hold up the Word of God as truly the Word of God, authoritative in our lives and able to bring us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Do they honor the new covenant? Do they recognize that we are saved by grace through faith alone, that it's not of works, it's a free gift? So those are the things that you want to look for in a church. If the pastor or any of the leadership varies on those basic doctrines, then you take warning. You examine it more thoroughly, and if they don't measure up to those, I think you move on and find another group.
Yeah. Well, Teresa, I hope that's been a help to you. And for any of our listeners, Bob, who'd like to pose a question by email, you can do so by going to our website. That's basicgospel.net, prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, right now, still plenty of time on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. You are listening to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Charlie in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing?
I'm
doing
well.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Every week, my buddy owns a small farm, and these Jehovah's Witnesses come there, and we kind of kick it back and forth, right? Now, my question is, the rider on the white horse, the first rider on the white horse, who is that?
Well, some would say that it's Jesus Christ. I don't think that is true.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, Revelation 19:11 shows Jesus riding on a white horse, and some people try to connect this passage in Revelation 6 to what is being revealed in Revelation 19, but I don't think that is the correct interpretation. This rider on the white horse isn't named. It simply tells us that this rider carried a bow and had a crown on his head, and he won battles and gained victories. And I think what that white rider shows us is that the nature of man is conquest. We want to go out into the world and conquer things and take control of things. We see that throughout human history. It is a series of conquests and victories. We see that in the book of Daniel, in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He was the first of the four empires mentioned. Well, somebody else came along, basically riding this horse, wearing a crown, saying, we're going to conquer. And sure enough, the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and they ruled and reigned. And then Alexander the Great came along and established the Greek Empire. And what did he want to do? He wanted to go out and win battles and gain victories. And so he did, and soon he ruled the world. And then there was the Roman Empire. And so we see this rise and fall, And I think that's what this horse represents, is just the nature of man to want to rule, want to reign. We see it even in business applications. We see folks wanting to climb the corporate ladder to get to the top. Well, how do they do that? They win battles and gain victories. They step on top of people. They move others aside. They do it so they can rise to the top. And I think this is what this first horse is all about.
Okay, it isn't Jesus, though.
No, it is not. I do not think it is.
I didn't think so. I didn't, because we had an argument about it, and they told me that it's Jesus. I said, no, it isn't. Jesus comes on the second horse. The second white horse is Jesus.
That's right.
The first horse.
That's
either the Antichrist or somebody similar.
Yeah, that's how I see it, Charlie.
Hey, do you have time for one more question, or you got to go?
Make it quick.
All right. They tell me that your Archangel Michael and Christ are the same person.
That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and that's not true. See, they only believe that God is one, that it's not a Godhead, it's not a Trinity, it's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so they've basically rewritten the Bible to align with their belief system. So, for example, in John 1, which reads, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God," they've inserted the word "a." So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they're detracting from the real identity of Jesus Christ. And they are basically putting him on the same level as an angel. And that's not true. That's not what the Bible reveals.
Because even Thomas said, "My God and my Lord."
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? All of the apostles looked at Jesus and called him their great God and Savior. Paul did, Peter did, Thomas did, John did. They all believed the testimony of Jesus Christ about himself, that he was God in human flesh.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome, Charlie. Let me do this for you. We have a wonderful little resource called The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. I'd love to send it to you.
That would be fabulous. That would be fabulous.
Well, you hold on. We'll send it your way. Hey, thanks for your great call today, Charlie.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much for clearing that up. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Hold on.
And, Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of the book, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness or to a Mormon, you can find that in our store at basicgospel.net. Simply go to store.basicgospel.net, and you'll find that and all of the resources there to aid you in your spiritual journey. We encourage you to go there, basicgospel.net, and the store, of course, is on the prominent upper menu, or you can just go to store.basicgospel.net. Right now, a little bit of time left on the clock. If we can squeeze in another call or two, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, yes, indeed. I want to make one mention. This month is Pastor's Appreciation Month.
Mm-hmm.
This station in New York, WMCA, has celebrated that with a wonderful event a couple of weeks ago, and certainly pay tribute to them for honoring the pastors.
Yeah, for recognizing,
absolutely. Yeah. I think being a pastor is one of the toughest jobs on the planet.
I think so too.
There's spiritual warfare happening there. There's all sorts of things that pastors endure, and many burn out and many leave mm-hmm. the pastorate.
Right.
So if you're in a church and you have a wonderful pastor and you love that guy, would you let him know it? Just send him a note, either an email or a handwritten note, or just give him a big hug on a Sunday and say, "I love you,
yeah.
and I appreciate what you're doing, and I thank you for pointing us to Christ Jesus, being a shepherd to lead us to the great shepherd."
Yes, indeed. That's a great idea, Bob.
Well, and then let us know that you're doing that. We would sure appreciate that as well. Well, let's go to our friend Frank in New York. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I wanted to get your opinion on something. As far as the, you know, there's the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the post-trib rapture theories. In studying the scriptures, I would say that lining what's going to happen during the tribulation period up, it's mentioned in Revelation. If you look at the Exodus, what happened to the Jews, they were still in Egypt while all those judgments were coming upon Egypt from God. And many of them are the same, like the judgment of the darkness and blood and hail. They're all mentioned in the book of Revelation too. So what I think is going to happen is that the church is going to be here, but yet God is going to protect the church supernaturally the way he protected the Jews while they were still in Egypt. They weren't affected by those things.
Well, I think you're making a great point, Frank, and I think that's one of the underlying themes that travel through the book of Revelation, that God's people will be protected. Chapter 7, verse 3, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. That seal protects us. Romans 5:9, Paul is very implicit with this truth, that those who have been justified by Jesus' blood will be saved from the wrath to come. We're going to be protected from these judgments. And that's the assurance that we need. You know, folks say we're going to be taken out of it, and boy, that would be awesome, and, you know, I would love that. I would love that. But if that's not the case, I know I have a promise of God that I will be protected. Just as Noah and his family were protected from the flood, just as Lot was protected from the destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to be protected as well. And I think that's one of the singular most important messages in this book of Revelation. I think as you go from chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter, you see this protective hand of God on those who belong to him.
Right. I agree with that thing, you know, because God doesn't judge the righteous with the unrighteous.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Well, Frank, great question today. We sure always appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
Thank you. May God bless you, fellas.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Well, Bob, we have just a couple of few seconds here. Let's talk about the financial need of the ministry. We certainly need our listeners' help right now.
We sure do, and I think many ministries do, but we need help to keep this broadcast on the air. So if this ministry has touched your life, has made a difference for you, would you give back to help support it?
Yeah.
You can do so by making a gift today, a gift of any amount, $10, $20, $1,000. Doesn't matter the size, they're all significant.
Absolutely. And I'll elaborate on that, but we want to say thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel. We hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And thanks to all of those of you who give to support Basic Gospel, keeping the good news on the air. A reminder that for a gift of any amount, you're going to receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Or for your donation of $50 or more, you'll get not only the booklet, you'll receive the 8-message CD series by Richard Piper called Revelation, It's No Mystery. That's a double advantage, friends, keeping Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time learning the real message of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. So decide on your gift, then call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. If you've signed up previously, you'll continue to receive the day-by-day preview of each day's look at Revelation. If you join the study in progress or if you're just now discovering it, you can catch up by going to our radio archive at basicgospel.net and begin listening with the programs that we did on October 1st, the day we began the study. But for now, just click subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net and be ready for tomorrow's study. So, until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis saying thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition, a live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.